take it for granted, and we're not going to change it. We like it just the way it is. So I pray I don't mess anything up today. Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. If you find your place and you're able to stand, I want you to stand in honor of God's Word. And I want to preach on this subject tonight. This will be our fourth message, if you've been able to be at all of them. We looked at on Tuesday night, this week of Easter, the Old Covenant versus the New Covenant. As Jesus finished the Passover and brought into the church the Lord's table or the Lord's Supper. On Wednesday night, we looked at the injustice that was done, the mock trial that took place. And then this morning we saw the tomb was, the stone was rolled away, that He is risen just as He said He would. And now tonight I want to bring a message that's just after the resurrection. And you'll notice with me, if you look at verse number 12 in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says, "Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Now, the reason they said that in verse 11, when the women showed up in verse number 10, verse 11 says, when they told them, it says, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So there's still some skepticism on what is taking place here in the resurrection. Now, it's easy for us to look back, and we're not skeptical. We believe what has taken place. And Peter is going to very shortly also. But then there's another story here, and I want to pick up the text in verse 13, and I want to preach on this subject tonight. Jesus Christ is the Bible. Jesus Christ is the Bible. Verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished which were early up the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying, They had also seen a vision of angels. Now, they didn't see a vision. They saw angels. They're trying to figure this out, which said he was alive. So these ladies came back. And the Bible, remember what it said? It said their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. And they're confused and trying to figure out, what is this all about? And verse number 23, I'm going to say it again. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This is called expository Bible preaching. That's what it's called. But they constrained him. Verse 28. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. This is a great story. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. Jesus partook of this meal with them. And a spirit don't eat food. He's a bodily resurrected right before them. He is expounding unto them the scriptures. He is talking of the Messiah and of himself. And finally, verse number 31 says this, And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another. And this is what should happen to us right here when we expound upon the Scriptures. Did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? The Bible is alive. It is a living book. It is the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Messiah, our Lord. The Bible is Jesus Christ. Father, bless the reading of the Word and the preaching of it tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus made several appearances to several people. And by the way, I like Sunday morning, but I also like Sunday night. And you'll notice with me that several times that Jesus meets with the disciples in the evening service, in the evening time. And these men have gone on their way, and the evening is coming upon them. The darkness is coming upon them, and they constrain Jesus, who has for a while now been speaking to them the Word of God. He's been expounding unto them the things that are spoken about Him in the Old Testament. And now we know that eventually there will be over 500 people that will see Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. That's very clear from the Scripture. But in the verses that we read tonight, we read about two individual men that Jesus met on the road to Emmaus. A lot of explanation over in the book of Mark. The book of Mark talks about it, but Luke expounds upon this post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ. And it is right after the women have gone to the tomb. They have been confronted by the empty tomb. They have been confronted by the angels. They themselves have seen the tomb is empty. They rush back to let Peter and the disciples know that Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. And the Bible would tell us in the book of John that John and Peter run to the tomb. And then we saw this morning how the napkin was there, and it was everything was done in order. But Jesus is not there. Jesus has risen from the dead. Probably at this time has made his ascension to heaven to put the blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary on the mercy seat in the real tabernacle in heaven. We see that the tabernacle and the temple in the Old Testament, but the real tabernacle and the real temple is in heaven. And the blood of bulls and goats is not upon the temple in heaven. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus, for those 3 days and those 3 nights, He went into the heart of the earth and He preached to those that were in paradise. And after the blood was placed on the mercy seat in heaven, the Bible said He led captivity captive. Amen. Now when we die, the Bible says we don't go to paradise. We go to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. These are all things that are expounded in the Scriptures and that are told to us. Jesus Christ tonight, listen to me, is the Word of God. One of the ways that the devil tries to discredit Christianity is to put doubt upon the Word of God. We're not going to do that at Berean Baptist Church. We're not going to put any kind of doubt on the Word of God. I believe by faith in the creation, and I believe by faith in the Word of God. It is the very inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is perfectly preserved for you and I tonight in the authorized King James Version of the Bible. And just so those who say I can't say this, all of those other English, 67 English translations are not the Word of God. They don't say what this Bible says, therefore they are not the same, and we reject them. We reject them, I say, because they come. Some of these guys don't, they think old men like me, like we didn't study it out when we were young men. Like all of a sudden, there's something new that has come on. No, listen, I struggled with these things when I got saved, but I came to the conclusion that I hold within my hand, when I stand and preach, the very Word of God. But if something, if you got four different versions of the Bible and they all say something different, they all can't be right. Telling you, man, I'm going to get fired up about this. Jesus Christ is the very Word of God. The devil would try to do anything he can to discredit the Bible. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can be saved apart from Jesus Christ, who is the very living Word of God. No one can be saved apart from what the Bible tells us about salvation. Those who understand the Bible can know the truth about salvation from sin and eternal damnation. Only those who obey a biblical truth can live fulfilled and obedient and blessed and effective, joyful lives. Listen, I'm glad that we have the Bible tonight. And every time that we read the Bible, it should be, as Luke tells us, that these two men, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked to us by the way, and while He opened up to us the Scriptures? That's what the Bible should do for us. Bible preaching is to explain the Bible. In this passage in Luke, we find that Jesus Christ confronted two men who were filled with doubt, confused about the situation, and I could say were a little bit ignorant of the Scriptures themselves. And Jesus confronts them about it. He even uses pretty strong language when he says, "Are you so slow of heart that you don't believe what the prophets have spoken?" Sometimes we get something in our mind that we want it to be that maybe that's not what the Bible says. And what Jesus Christ is having to do here is they were looking for the Messiah that would conquer. They were not looking for the Messiah that would suffer. They were looking for the Messiah that would overthrow Rome. They were not looking for a Messiah that would go to the cross and die for the sins of all mankind. Now, everything that the Bible says about Jesus Christ, if it's not come true, it will come true. It will come true. But Jesus is trying to explain to these men, do you not understand that in the Bible, the book of Isaiah, that the Messiah has to suffer before He will ever reign? It was not that they didn't believe the Scriptures, but that their understanding was incomplete. They had an incomplete knowledge of the Scriptures. And by the way, that can be very dangerous. There's a lot of cults and false religions built around incomplete knowledge of the Bible. Jesus opened the Old Testament Scriptures to them, and He showed them the truth of God's Word. They didn't realize all the Scripture had said about the Son of God. The need for understanding is very important for us tonight. We need to understand what the Bible says. They needed to understand. Look at verse 25 and verse 26. He said, "You fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Do you not understand," and I'm adding that, "ought not Christ," and that word Christ is the word Messiah, "ought not Christ," or the Messiah, "to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory?" Here is two disciples in discussions about the events that have transpired. Now you understand that the crucifixion had taken place. Everybody had been, every Jew at that time, if they were doing what they were supposed to do, they didn't understand what Jesus was doing in doing away with the Passover and giving the church the Lord's Supper. They were observing the Passover. They were locked in their houses, but they were trying to get in their mind what had taken place, about how that the crucifixion and now Sunday has appeared, and now all of a sudden they're meeting together, and these women that have gone to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus have rushed back to them and said, "He's not here. In fact, we just had two angels that we just saw. And one of them spoke to us and said, 'He is not here, He's risen.'" Now they're walking back home and they're talking about these things. They're trying to figure everything that had happened. As they traveled, the Bible kind of tells us they were heartbroken. They were devastated. They were confused. Maybe it was that all of their hopes and their dreams that they had concerning Jesus Christ had been done away with. They were looking for the Messiah who would break the rule of Rome by force. And by the way, remember when Jesus Christ began to feed the multitudes? They saw that. They saw the people saw the feeding of the multitudes. And it says they came and they wanted to take Him by force to be their king. Because if a man can make 5 loaves and 2 fishes feed thousands of people, then Jesus Christ can overthrow the Roman government. Government is not our issue here. Too many people are looking for the government to help them. They're looking for the government to try to solve their problems. They think if we can get such and such or so and so elected, everything's going to be better. No, it's not. No, it's not. This system that is before us is under the devil's got his hand on it. Wickedness abounds. They here's what they're thinking: a Messiah who managed to allow himself to be caught by the Jewish authorities, handed over to the Romans, crucified before it even began to organize some kind of coup. What was the deal? Like the apostles and the rest of the disciples who had heard the women's testimony of resurrection, they didn't believe it and they thought it was nonsense. Because the Bible tells us exactly what they thought. Their words seemed to be as idle tales, and they believed them not. So they're on their way back to Emmaus from Jerusalem, and they're talking with each other about all these things that have taken place. Now think about this, and even Last Sunday, which people call Palm Sunday, and Brother Bill Williams preached on that subject, they would have remembered just a week ago the triumphal entry when the massive crowds hailed Him as the Messiah, the Son of David. That they had done this. I get a little bit different take, but all of that, Jesus is standing there. And they have laid their coats down and they have done all this. And the next thing you know, they're all gone. And Jesus is standing there. He's still the Messiah. He's still the Son of God. He's still the Savior. Before Abraham was, I am, He said. All that's still true. And He's standing there. And everybody's gone. And He knows what is before Him. He knew what was before Him in the upper room. Read John 14 and 15. Read those passages scriptural. He washed the disciples' feet. He taught them humility. He prayed in the garden. And then the crowd shows up. Listen, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. In fact, when He spoke to them, they all fell down. Said, "Okay, y'all want to get back up now?" They led Him to Caiaphas' house. We read that on Wednesday night, all that took place. Jesus knew what was taking place. But listen, Jesus knew that He was doing this for you and I. And these men, they're trying to figure all this out. So they would have remembered the triumphal entry. They would have remembered the massive crowds. They could have been talking about how He disrupted the religious leaders' lucrative, corrupt financial operation by attacking the temple operations. Wouldn't you like to have been there? I mean, Jesus was a man's man. And He was willing to confront wickedness. And He said, "You've made my Father's house a den of thieves." They could have been talking about how He taught the people. These are all things that are found in the text. before we read what he discredited the religious leaders' attempts to trap him in his words. He had brought, remember when they brought the penny to him and they said, he said, whose inscription is on this? They said, Caesar. Is it lawful for us to pay to Caesar? There wasn't one Jew that wanted to pay one dime of taxes to Caesar. Somebody say amen. I'm in on that. But he said, render unto Caesar's the things which are Caesar's. Render unto God the things which are God's. Shut them right up. They didn't have a word to say. They could have been talking about how he turned the tables on them and humiliated them in the silence. They could have talked about the shock of his arrest, the mock trial, the crucifixion, the death, the burial. It was unimaginable and devastating that the one that they had placed their hope in had now been executed and was dead. And now all of a sudden these women come and tell them that Jesus Christ was not in the tomb. Well, if they believed that their words seemed as idle tales and they believed them not, then they're going to be like the rest of the world. Where's he at? What's going on? While they talk and they're discussing these events, while they're trying to make sense out of what turned their world upside down, a stranger joins them. That's the way I look at it. Kind of like, out-of-body experience. I want to thank the Lord he just appeared. But he just... Hey guys, how y'all doing? Jesus says, what are y'all talking about? Well, are you a stranger in this land? We're talking about the events of Jesus Christ. Really? Well, explain it to me. What are y'all talking about? And by the way, this was not uncommon, a stranger to join somebody in a walking down the road. Most people traveled from place to place on foot. The roads were traversed by many people. Sometimes they might not have... I'm telling you, you ever go to Israel, they're very friendly people. You can sit down and begin to make a conversation with just about anybody. And they're not, there's some parts of America you can do that, like in the South. If you want hospitality, go to Augusta, Georgia during the week of Masters. It was awesome. Pimento cheese sandwich, $1.50. Egg salad sandwich, $1.50. People from the North don't even know what that means. Ham and cheese, $3. Coca-Cola, $1. I mean, this is awesome. This is hospitality. Go up north, it'd be $25 for a pimento cheese sandwich. Well, it wouldn't be no pimento cheese sandwich. It'd be some other kind of thing. People were hospitable. They were talking about what took place. And all of a sudden, the resurrected, glorified Jesus Christ approaches them and begins to walk with them. I mean, where'd you come from? The men were not startled by his appearance. He seemed to be just another person on the road. He did not reveal himself to them until after he explained the scriptures to them. Here's the great truth for all of us to understand. It's the scripture that does the job, not the preacher who delivers the message. It's the Word of God that speaks to our hearts. It's the Word of God that convicts us of our sin. It's the Word of God that shows us where the error of our way is. It's the Word of God that shows us how to get right with God. It is the Word of God. It's not the preacher. The preacher is just supposed to expound the Scripture. The power is in the Word of God. And you know what Jesus did? He explained the Bible to them. And by the way, they didn't have a New Testament. This is the Old Testament. He asked them what they were talking about. Look at verse number 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and are sad? Why are you sad? And they said, well, are you a stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known? Hast thou not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And Jesus said, what things? And they said to them, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And did you not hear how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him? Man, we're disappointed because verse 21 says we trusted that he was the one that should redeem Israel. Besides this, this is the third day. We're very disappointed. How could someone be unaware of what took place? How can you not understand what's been going on? And here's the deal. Jesus said, they said, well, he was a prophet. But he was more than a prophet. He was a prophet who Moses had spoke about, the promised Messiah. Their description was accurate, but it was incomplete. Jesus was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. Listen to this. The miracles he performed showed one thing very clearly. He was God. Only God can raise the dead. Only God can cleanse leopards. Only God can make the blind to see and the deaf to hear. Only God can raise the dead like He had done Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is alive and He's walking right beside them. And they don't even recognize who He is. Well, the Bible says that their eyes were not holding who He was. And so they're on the road talking to Jesus. And they're saying He's dead. And we thought He would be the one that would liberate us from the oppression. We thought He was going to be the one to establish the kingdom. We thought He would be the one to redeem all things. Everyone knew that to redeem something required a payment price. That's found in Leviticus 27, Leviticus 15, Leviticus 27, verse 13, verse 15, verse 19, verse 27, verse 31. And by the way, this should have been very, very clear in their mind or fresh in their mind in light of just completing the Passover celebration when animals were sacrificed as the price for forgiveness and to get them out of Egypt. But though they understood that redemption required death, they never thought it would be required the Messiah would die. As a result, they were shocked, they were confused, and they couldn't believe that Jesus Christ was dead. In verse 22 and verse 23, look at this. They said, certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels and said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even as the women had said, but Him they saw not. At this point, they rejected the truth of the resurrection. But you know what Jesus did? He gave them the Bible in verse 25 through verse 27. And verse 27 says that and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all in all the Scriptures the things, look at this, concerning Himself. Before instructing the men, Jesus first rebuked them. Have you not read the Scriptures? Don't you understand? By the way, when it says slow of heart, that means I hate it. Because I know some of the kids, their mom won't let them say the word stupid. But it's in the Bible. And Jesus saying, are you stupid? Sorry. I'm just giving the definition of what the word slow of heart means. Now, we use the word stupid wrong, but He used it where as you're ignorant of the Scriptures. Now, their confusion stemmed because they failed to understand and believe all the Old Testament talk regarding the Messiah. They were right to expect Him to reign and rule to establish His kingdom, but that was only part truth. Isn't it amazing? We only want to hear the parts of the truth that we want to hear. They missed the truth that He had to suffer before establishing a kingdom. According to Jesus, there was no excuse for their lack of understanding since the Old Testament, according to Jesus, was very clear and very understandable. And that's why He said, didn't you read the prophets? Have you not read Isaiah? After Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know what God did? He had to kill an animal to provide coverings for them, to picture the death of an innocent substitute to cover the sin of a guilty sinner. God accepted Abel's sacrifice because it was a blood sacrifice. He rejected Cain's because it was not. It was of His hands' works. After the flood, Noah built an altar and offered sacrifices. The sacrificial system laid out in the five books of Moses included these things: the Day of Atonement, the Passover, the death of countless thousands of innocent animals. Jesus is saying, did you not read the whole Scriptures? And verse 27 says he expounded unto them. Now, I want you to think with me. Here's the message tonight. What was it he expounded unto them? Well, there was not only Abel's and Noah's sacrifices. There was the ark, which pictures him as the true ark into which sinners enter and can safely sail through the waters of divine judgment. The ram offered as a substitute in place of Isaac in Genesis 22. The Passover lambs, which pictured Jesus Christ as the final sacrifice. The manna in Exodus 16, which pictured him as the true bread from heaven. The Day of Atonement, where it is pictured by both sacrifice on the altar and the scapegoat that bore away the sin. The rocks that provided water in the wilderness, which pictured him as a source of spiritual provision for his people. The prophet of whom Moses wrote about in Deuteronomy 18, who was the Messiah. The one that hanged on a tree, cursed by God, taken down before sunset and hated without a cause, according to Psalm 69:4. He could have also taken them to Psalm 40, verse 7, which the writer of Hebrews applied to him. He would surely have pointed out the details of the crucifixion given in Psalm 22, Isaiah 50, Zechariah 11, and especially Isaiah 53. Did you not read Isaiah 53, boys? And Jesus just kept Scripture, Old Testament Scripture. What about Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, which predicted the exact day of his triumphal entry that had taken place a week earlier? Jesus would also explain and predict to them that the resurrection was given in Psalm 16. What I'm saying to you is the Old Testament is full of who Jesus Christ is. And he just said, hey, don't be ignorant of the Scriptures. Now, here's the deal. It's how they responded. And it's how, listen, week after week after week after week, there's always somebody standing. Praise God for the music. Praise God for the specials. Praise God for prayer. Praise God for the giving of our tithes and our offerings. But listen, when the Bible's expounded, it's what we do with it. That's where the rubber meets the road. Every message, we have to make a decision on what we just heard from the Bible. And you know what their response was? Well, they left them stunned and overwhelmed, and they wanted more. And they said, please come to the house. We want to hear more of this. And the Bible says this, their hearts burned as the Scripture was explained. I like that. I like it when my heart burns for the Word of God. When we understand the Scripture, you know what it does? It'll strengthen our faith. To know the true interpretation of the Scripture is to know God and to realize this that His plan is unfolding and that His will is being accomplished. Hey, listen, it didn't freak God out when COVID came. It doesn't. God's not surprised by anything. Listen, we get surprised sometimes by things, but God's not surprised. As these men approached the village, and Jesus acted as he was going further, he did so for the same reason he had questioned them, to see what the response would be as he would effectively tell them the Scriptures and what it would do to their heart. Listen, my friend, the Scriptures change us. You want your life changed? Read the Bible. Be in church. Hear the Word of God. Respond to it. Don't become so callous that you think you know everything. Every day I read my Bible, something pops out that I've read hundreds of times, but the Bible is still alive and it's still fresh and it's still applicable to my life every day. And the day that our hearts quit burning for the Word of God, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. They were so excited about what they heard, they constrained him. Look at verse 29. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened. and they knew Him. And then He vanished out of their sight. Son, as Dean Herring would say, they were never the same. I've never been the same since April 1984 when I got saved by the grace of God. My heart burned for the Word of God. And sometimes I say, Lord, help my heart to burn. Help my heart to burn for the Word of God like it did in 1984 when my wife thought maybe I'd lost my mind because all I wanted to do was study the Bible. Oh, listen, I've studied a lot of the Bible, but I still don't know everything about it. What they wanted was more understanding of God's revelation. That's what we should all want. To their great joy, Jesus obliged and went in with them. And in the middle of the continuing preaching and teaching, He did something unusual. All of a sudden, they knew who He was. And you know what? They went back to tell everybody else what they had seen. Look at verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? And look at verse 33. And they arose up the same hour. Listen, they had just told Jesus, the night is far spent. Why don't you come and abide with us? No, this is not something we can just not do. We got to do something with this. They returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And He appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how He was known of them in breaking of bread. What set their hearts on fire was that they understood the Scriptures. Who's the Scriptures? Jesus Christ. The burning joy that resulted was so overwhelming that they immediately went out into the pitch black night. They didn't have no headlights. And they didn't have no street lights, but they headed all the way back to Jerusalem to share with others the knowledge that they alone possessed at that moment, and that was that Jesus was a suffering and resurrected Savior, and all of it was found in the Word of God. Because Jesus explained it to them. You don't think them brethren were able to quote Isaiah 53 from that day forward? Now listen to this. Here's the whole message tonight. When the truth of the Scripture becomes clear, our hearts should be set on fire for what God has done for us. And it should cause us to go away from this place in the pitch black night to let others know there is a Savior that loves them. Hey, this is Sunday. This is Resurrection Day. We got to go tell somebody that Jesus is alive. They did it, and we need to do it. Immediately. He is alive. Praise God. And if you're not saved, you need to get saved before it's too late. Let's stand tonight. Every head.